Good morning, brethren and friends. Thank you for joining us through the means of Facebook this morning. We'll be in Psalm 66 again this morning. Those of you in the auditorium, please stand with me as we read verses 8 to 12 from Psalm 66. Again, it says, O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffered not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou brought us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused man to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but thou brought us out into a wealthy place. Amen. Let's pray. Glorious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you again to be able to meet in your house this morning, Lord. And we ask that you would bless your word this morning as it goes forth, Heavenly Father. We ask you that as we look again into 2021, Lord, give us that grace to be able to walk by faith and not by sight. Encourage us and remind us again as we see in Psalm 66 that you are in full control of all things, Lord, that our refuge and strength is in you alone. And so again, we just ask, speak to us again through your word, encourage us, and Lord, we just look to you and help us, Lord, when trials come into our lives, allow not fear to rob us of our faith, Heavenly Father. And so may you grace us that our trust and hope would be in you alone, Lord. And as your word goes forward this morning, again, we ask that you give us understanding and cause us to see your word, Lord, and that you would teach us and show us the importance of following you fully. And so, Lord, we ask all this in the blessed and most holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Again, this morning we'll be turning to Psalm 66, and this will be part 5 on our study of the ways of God. We'll continue on the third point on the clear wisdom of God in verses 8 to 12, because it clearly sets forth the aspect that God is the one that brings us to the trial, and he sustains us and is with us, and it speaks of the providence of God. So we've been speaking of the importance of holding fast to the confession of our faith and to do it without wavering, because we are persuaded in the promises of God that we should embrace, and better yet, we are to confess them not only with the tongue, but confess them with our walk on a daily life, so that we can declare like the Apostle Paul with that holy conviction that is cemented in such great faith, standing upon the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. To say like the Apostle Paul in such an unwavering and in really authentic faith, to declare like Paul and say, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I love that. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day, whether it's the last day when Christ comes back or if it's the day of trial, that we can stand firm in Christ. And so we have been speaking the past 2 weeks on this to help us move forward in our faith as we enter into 2021. And we're seeing how the Lord brought the Hebrew children to the Red Sea, and then the same God brought them out with great and exceeding power, which again is the application of Psalm 66. The psalmist uses the example of what happened at the Red Sea, and that's why I went there. But we concluded in Exodus 14 and didn't have enough time to get back to Exodus 15. We chased a few rabbits from Hebrews and the book of Daniel. But this morning, let us turn to Exodus 15. Israel had been blessed by God. They were brought in. God was with them. And then the Lord brought them out into a wealthy place. They were so encouraged and built up in the most holy faith that they were singing a song. They sang a song of the great deliverance. And this is called the Song of Moses, as the people walked upon dry ground through the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter 15, again in verses 1 and 2, it says, Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, I will exalt him. Drop down to verse 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, had dashed in pieces the enemy. Verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Now they see the power and might of the great God that delivered them, and so they sing unto him. And now, I want to read the next section as an introduction that we're going to go to now to Numbers 13 and 14. And I'm sharing this because I want you to read with me these words. Read them with me. Read them very carefully, because they also sang this. They sang the song all the way to verse 21. So this is part of their song also. And I'm amazed what it said here. But nonetheless, notice what it says in verse 13. Okay? He says, Thou in thy mercy hast led forth thy people, which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength into the holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestina. The dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold of them. And some of the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Is that what your Bible says? What does your Bible say? Oh, y'all missed that one, didn't you? You mean I got one in and y'all didn't see it? I purposely misquoted that verse and nobody said anything. No, it does not say some of the inhabitants of Canaan. No, all. That's very important to understand. Where is the promised land? In the land of Canaan. In other words, they're singing this right now. Then when they get to that place to enter the promised land, what does it say? That all the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Not some, but all of them. Look at verse 16. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. And these people knew something of fear, didn't they? Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone, till all the people pass over, O Lord, till all the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Till when? Till all the people pass over. You notice he says it twice. They sing it twice. Till all the people pass over. Again at the beginning of verse 16. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. Who are the them? The inhabitants of the land of Canaan. Verse 17. Thou shalt bring them in. Who? God will bring them into the promised land. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O God, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. My. That is amazing. Wow. And I want you to notice that I'm just blown away at the end of verse 15 again. It says, all the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. And he tells them that he is going to bring them in to that place. That's very important to understand. And then he says, they sing in verse 18, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. And then in verse 21, it concludes, and Marian answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he had triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider had thrown into the sea. So again, you know, they sang this great song at the end of the victory. And they were so blessed. And now they were singing also as they were going to enter into the promised land. But let's turn now to Numbers 13 and 14. As we look to Numbers 13 and 14, I want to again drive the example of the importance of walking by faith and not by sight. Okay? We want to walk by faith, not by sight. And if we walk by faith, it would not rob us of Fear will not rob us of faith, but if we walk by sight, I can assure you that fear will rob you of faith. And so we must be moving forward in faith, and we must do it without wavering, as we've read there in Hebrews 10:23. Okay? Now, it's been perhaps a year to a year and a half, more or less, of what happened in Exodus 14 and 15, and what we have now here in Numbers 13 and 14. During this time, we know they went up to Mount Sinai. The Lord gave them the Ten Commandments. And the sad thing is, even as the Lord gave them the Ten Commandments, they were down there. What were they doing? They're creating some golden calf to worship and honor. But I did find something interesting there in Exodus 20. I'll read it to you, that after he gave the Ten Commandments, it really stood out to me because it has to deal with what we've been studying. And I'm glad I went and read Exodus 20. But it says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you." Is that not the whole aspect of our study that we've been talking about from Psalm 66, that God sends trials into our life to prove us? Fear not, for God has come to prove you, that His fear may be before your faces. Wow. Amazing. And so now, they come to Kadesh Barnea, and they're just days away from the promised land. They're days away from that place that flows with milk and honey. But again, Moses said to them, "Fear not," as they prepare to move forward to Kadesh Barnea into the promised land. "Fear not, God has come to prove you." And again, trials come into our lives, not to bring fear, but to prove us. If we continue to serve God without wavering, to move forward in faith. So again, a year and a half has passed, more or less. And now they find themselves in Kadesh Barnea, which is at the edge of the promised land. If we begin to read there in Exodus 13, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." And then from verse 3 through 16, we have the names of those 12 spies and the tribes that they came from. Okay? In verse 17, it says, in Hebrews 13, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong, weak, few, or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what city they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, or whether it be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage." There it is. "Be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first five grades. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as man came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, Talmai, the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came to the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they there between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the fig. The place was called the brook of Eshcol, because the cluster of the grapes with the children of Israel cut down from thence, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. They went out 40 days, they searched the land, and they even brought back fruit. The grapes were so big, it took two men to carry them. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was a blessed land. Okay? Amazing. They sent 12 spies. But before I get to my first point, I have about 5 or 6 points I want to present to you. But before I get to my first point, I do want to ask you a question. Who was it that requested that the 12 spies should go into the land? Anybody know? Anybody want to take a chance and see? Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you. You think about it. What I'm saying is, I thought about it. Said, who said to send the 12 men? Was it God? Or was it them? Keep your finger here. We'll come right back. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let me show you something interesting. Now, please understand, Deuteronomy 1 is written after the 40 years in the hot and burning sand, okay? This is afterwards, when Moses wrote this. But notice what it said in Deuteronomy 1. In verses 1 to 3 it says, "These be the words of Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran, Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. They are 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had commanded him in the commandment unto them." So, as I said, it's been 40 years. Verse 5, "On this side of Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare the law, saying, The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go into the mouth of the Amorites." See, God is telling them, go into the mouth of the Amorites and to all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain and the hills and in the Baal and in the sound and by the sea, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, and unto the great river, the river Euphrates. In verse 8, this is what God told them before they came to Kadesh Barnea. "Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them, to their seed after them." So clear that God promised to give them the land. Verse 10, "The Lord your God had multiplied you. Behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for a multitude. The Lord of your fathers make you a thousand times so many more as you are, and bless you as he had promised." Drop down to verse 19. "And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness which Esau, by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, the Lord our God commanded us, that we came to Kadesh Barnea." And we're going to go back to Kadesh Barnea in a little bit. "And I said unto you, you are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. And behold, the Lord thy God had set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord thy God of thy father had said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." But notice what it said. "But ye came unto me." Ye came near me. "Ye came near unto me. Every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search of the land and bring us word again by what we must go up and into what cities we shall come." In other words, it was them, okay? They themselves that said, "We will go and search of the land." But what did God tell them? Just go into the land. But they wanted to go see the land first. My. "And ye come near unto every one of you and said, We will send men." Again, The plan of sending the 12 spies originated with the people. They said, we will. Well, this is the problem. Anytime you put your will before God's will, you know there's going to be problems. Instead of trusting God, instead of submitting to the will of God and obeying God and going into the land, they said, no, we will send some spies and search out the land. But God said, it's your land. Go, possess it. But they said, we will. My. It is so sad, really, when you think about it. You see, what was the will of God? The will of God for them was to go into the land and possess it. Why? It was their land. He gave it to them. Yes, there were occupants there. Yes, there were giants. And guess what? God was going to give them the land. But they put their will over God's will. And it always brings problems. My. May God teach us to submit to the will of God. No matter how hard it is, may God teach us to submit to the will of God as we know what it is so clearly. Even as the Apostle Paul, remember what he wrote there. Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, what? Perfect will of God for your life. Even in Ephesians, Paul says, not with eye service and man pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And that favorite text that I love to quote, and we sing in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I know it's hard at times to give thanks to God when we're going through a trial, but God tells us what? That we are to give thanks in everything. For what? Why? Because it's the will of God. My. Even Peter tells us, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And even the Apostle John throws in his 2 cents when he says, and the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so again, by no means am I saying that it's easy to submit to the will of God. But in faith, we must trust God so that we might find ourselves again, what? Walking by faith and not by sight. Because when you put your will first, I can assure you, you'll be walking by sight and not by faith. And so we see. In Deuteronomy 1:22, again, that it was the people. They said, we will send men to spy the land. Now, we can go back to Numbers 13. This is not disclosed in Numbers 13 at all. We're not told that. But no doubt in Deuteronomy 1:22, Moses laid the blame on the people. Because they said, we will send men before us. In other words, instead of trusting God, and just go into the land. Why? Because God said, I will give it to you. It's your land. They trusted in themselves. They trusted in the arm of the flesh. They trusted in their own wisdom. You know? And so, what do? They want to send some sort of reconnaissance mission and go see what's going on. And so, the idea of sending the 12 spies was not of God, but of them. But, God allowed it. God permitted it. God permitted it to the desires of their flesh. And as the saying goes, be careful what you ask for. So again, in Numbers 19, they're just within 11 days of entering the promised land, so short, but they want to send spies into the land. A land that is there, a land that they know that flows with milk and honey. You know, as we look at Numbers 13 and 14, there's at least 6 things that I would like to share with you from this because we are again considering the importance of not allowing fear to rob you of faith, as we saw in Exodus 14. The first thing I want to share with you is in Numbers 13, 26 to 33. Okay? And my first point is fear distorts your faith in the power of God. Fear will do that. Fear will distort your faith, or fear will disable your faith in God's power. Notice in verse 26 and Numbers 13. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. This is the fruit. Nevertheless, that was the problem. Nevertheless means but. Be careful when you say but to God. Yes, I know you said, Lord, but. Yes, it was a land. Oh, the fruit is great, everything. But nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. My. That's amazing. You notice that in verse 27, again, very clear. The promised land does flow with milk and honey. Again, they even brought fruit as a testimony. But again, it was at the beginning of verse 28 that the problem began. I would ask you, should underline, highlight, circle that word, nevertheless. Which again means but. You know, they describe all the ites in the land. The Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites. Along with that, they forgot to mention the fear ites, the compromising ites, you know, and all those kind of ites also that they didn't mention, right? And their faith succumbed to unbelief-itis. Supposedly because fear conquered the faith, once again, as it did in Exodus 14. And so they name all the people that dwell there. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Why? Because faith moves forward. Caleb said, let's go forward. We can do this. If Gordon were here, he would say, boys, let's go, boys. Let's go forward, boys. But the man that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report. Fear always brings up an evil report. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up or devours the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Wow. If they had just submitted to the will of God and just going to the land without sending the spies, maybe things would have been better. But no. We want to send spies. And they came back with an evil report. But thanks be to God. 10 spies came back with an evil report. But we know that there were two men, Joshua and Caleb. They stood strong. They stood firm. They had that faith that was unwavering. They had such conviction. They wanted to move forward in faith. But the other 10 were so caught up with their fear. They were so afraid they didn't want to go up. And again, I love what it says there in verse 30. And Caleb steal the people. I love that. And Caleb steal the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Again, Caleb is moving forward in faith. He was practicing again the teaching that we saw last week from Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold the profession of our faith. How? Without wavering. And so Caleb held to the profession of his faith. And he did it without wavering. He stood still. And he saw the salvation of the Lord. He saw the deliverance of the Lord. And he knew that God would fight for them. Because God had already done it before. And God had already promised them that the promised land was there. It was there to take. Again, I remind you from the song of Moses in Exodus 15. They sang about this a year and a half prior. And they sang a song that said, the people shall hear and be afraid. It's talking about the inhabitants of Canaan. Go back and read it again, Exodus 15:15. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sour should take hold of the inhabitants of Palestina. That's verse 15 says, and the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty man of Moab trembling shall take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Now you know why I made a big point about that, don't you? Not some of them. That included the giants. All the inhabitants of Canaan. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. My. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. But they were the ones fearing. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, Lord, till thy people pass over twice, that say it, which thou hast purchased. Then verse 17 of Exodus 15 says, thou shalt bring them in. That's what they had just sung. They sang this a year and a half earlier. And now, again, they're gripped by fear. They have robbed them of faith. And boy, they're caught up in a very, very hard situation. They totally forgot the power of God again. And they allow fear to grip their hearts. And therefore, again, fear robbed them of faith. And now they feel so hopeless. But the people should have known. They should have known God was leading them. And now you have two godly, faithful men, Joshua and Caleb, standing still, moving forward in faith. And both of them held to the profession of their faith. And both of them did it without wavering. Again, while the other 10 spies walked by sight, Caleb and Joshua walked by faith. Notice again the words of Caleb in verse 30 of Numbers 13. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb was not trusting in himself. Caleb was not trusting in any skills that he might have. Caleb was not trusting that he was a great warrior. No, Caleb's trust was in his God. He knew God would deliver them, not Caleb. That God alone. Caleb knew without a shadow of doubt that God would indeed bring him into the promised land. And just like Moses had to steal the people there in Exodus 14, Caleb had to steal the people there in Numbers 13. Here they are at the edge of Kadesh Barnea. And what does Caleb say? Let us go up at once. Why? Because he was fully persuaded of the promise of God. He embraced the promise of God. And thank me to God, he confessed the promise of God. Let us go forward. Let us go. Let us go up at once. What great faith. He said, for we are able to overcome it. You know why Caleb could say and confess these words? Because he followed the Lord fully. That's why. That was the reason. Look into chapter 14, Numbers 14. Verse 24. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and that followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whither he went, and his seed shall possess it. Yes, follow me fully. That's why Caleb trusted his God, because he was following his God fully. My. But again, anytime you trust in your own strength, your own wisdom, anytime you trust anything outside of God, fear will creep in. Fear will affect your faith. And fear will distort your faith in God's power. As we see in the response of the spies to Caleb. Right there and then is when they should have just manned up and said, let's go. But no. Look at verse 31 again of Numbers 13. But the man that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we, and they brought an evil report. And I said earlier, fear always brings an evil report. They brought an evil report of the land, and of the land which they had searched, and to the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eat up the inhabitants of the land and all the people, and we saw it. And we saw in it our men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. Wow. That was the problem, the beginning of verse 31. The buts. The buts of God, always questioning the power of God. But it always leads to fear. Again, in verse 30, Caleb had just proclaimed in great faith, let's go up at once. We are able to overcome it. We can. But in verse 31, fear proclaimed what? We are not able to go up to overcome it. What a difference. They said, we cannot go up against these. Why? They said, because they're stronger than us. And then, we're told in verses 32 and 33, we're told the reason why they're not able to go up, basically, what they thought. They said, there's giants in the land. Don't you understand? And we're just like little grasshoppers in their eyes. I think they might have been exaggerating a little bit. You know? I'm not denying that there were giants. But to say we were just little grasshoppers and they were up here, that is great exaggeration. But that's what fear does. Fear can take a little problem, little issue, and they'll make it a lot bigger than what it really is. It becomes a major thing because fear grips the heart, and fear always brings an evil report, and it causes you to distrust and to live in unbelief before God. And again, I remind you, who wanted to go spy out the land? The people did. God had already told them, go and possess the land. It's your land. I gave it to you. So they sent some sort of reconnaissance mission. And those of you in the military, you know what a reconnaissance mission is. It's a military observation of a particular place and region to spy out, to locate sometimes the enemy, but also to look for a strategic advantage. But the thing is, God told them, go. Go and possess the land. It is yours. It is your land. I remind you again from Deuteronomy 1. I'll read it to you. The Lord, in verse 6, the Lord God spake unto us in Horeb. You have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you, take your journey, go to the mount of the Amorites. Go to the mount of the Amorites. And in verse 29 of Numbers 13, the Amalekites, the Hittites, there they are, the Amorites. God knew what was in the land. But again, the people were so gripped with fear that they would not go up. He tells them to go up to the land of the Canaanites. He had set before them a land. He had made the promise to Abraham, and it was theirs, and they would have had it. But because of fear, it robbed them of faith. And the sad thing is, the end result of this, and I'm not going to get to it this morning, If you recall, I reminded you in verse 25 of Numbers 13 what it said, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And so God's judgment to the people, we know, was a year for every day. So they went out 40 days to spy the land, and they come back with an evil report. So the Lord says, okay, what should have taken them a week and a half, 11 days to go. God says, 40 years. That is amazing. 40 years. I'm really blown away by that. You know, when you think about it, all because of their unbelief. They were going to go wander 40 years. You see all that at the end of Numbers 14 where they murmured, they complained, and the Lord said, you're going to go up 40 years. Look at Numbers 14:34. After the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, ye shall bear your iniquities even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. And so sad, really, when you think about it. They could have just gone in, take the land, but they allowed fear to rob them, and so they suffered the awful consequences. You see, what happened, the 10 spies, they totally convinced the people that there were giants in the land. We must fear. But Caleb, 10 spies go up into the land. What did they see? Giants. Caleb and Joshua go up. What did they see? God's promise. Oh, they might have seen the giant, but that's no issue. That's no problem for God. Some saw giants, some saw God. Unbelievable when you think about it. They said, we can't go up. They're stronger than us. But what does Caleb say? Let us go up and take possession. We are well able to overcome it. Why? Because Caleb and Joshua, they were moving and forward by faith. They walked by sight. Matter of fact, Caleb and Joshua, they walked in the principle of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. This is Caleb and Joshua. They did this, and therefore their faith conquered their fear. And so they wanted to move forward in faith. But sadly, the 10 spies, in their heart was nothing but unbelief. Fear gripped them. Fear and unbelief was bound in their hearts. There was so much folly and falsehood in their hearts. But again, as my first point that I set forth, fear would always distort your faith in God's power. They themselves, remember, said in verse 27, yes, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. But then they say in verse 32, it's a land that eats up the inhabitants. In other words, that it devours all the inhabitants of the land. Not only that, verse 33, we are but grasshoppers in their eyes. And so what happened? Fear caused them to set their eyes on obstacles, whereas Caleb and Joshua, faith caused them to look at the opportunities of the great land that flows with milk and honey. You can look at the obstacles or the opportunity that God gives you. What a difference, really, when you think about it. The 10 spies, they look at the obstacles. They're too strong. The walls are too high. Fear always begets unbelief. And fear will always blind you of the promises of God and causes you to magnify the obstacles that are before you. And all it does is manifest our weakness and fear. And as I said, fear always brings an evil report. You see, fear and unbelief always see giants. And fear and unbelief always spell giants with a big G. But faith that is unwavering moves forward and spells God with a big G. And giants with a little G. My. The problem was the other 10, they spelled giant with a big G, and they spelled God with a little G. These are the fear. Again, faith sees God's power. And faith puts trust in God alone. So, I ask you this morning. I know about the 10 spies. But I ask you this morning, if you're going through a trial or a situation, how do you spell giants? Do you spell giants with a big G or a little G? How do you spell God? Do you spell God with a big G, capital G, or a little G? Giants represent trials that come into our life. The giants represent the difficulties that come into our life. And sometimes we know there are giants in our lives. It could be in the workplace. It could be in family. It could be in the church. Even in various, so many places, there are giants in our hearts, in our own trials. I remind you, as we said last week, God uses what? Adversity and adversaries to test our faith. And the giants will stalk us at times, and we must overcome them. And it's like the 12, it's like the 10 spies. You know, we say, oh no, it's going to devour us. This trial is going to eat us up. It's going to tear us apart. Or we're going to trust God and look to God. Caleb and Joshua, again, they had an overcoming, unwavering fear that moved forward in faith. My. Notice, jump over again to Numbers 14. And notice what Caleb says along with Joshua. In Numbers 14, 8 and 9, I'm going to hit myself again. It says, verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into the land and give us it. And give it us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Twice in verse 9. They tell them, don't fear. Trust the Lord. The land is ours. We'll overcome it. We'll take it. But sadly again, they allow fear to rob them of faith. And again, fear will distort your faith. Mama, in God's power. Unless we're like Joshua and Caleb, and we have that overcoming, unwavering faith to trust in God, or we'll be swallowed up by the giants that come into our life. Those trials that come into our life. You know, there's some people that believe because we trust in the power of God and we believe in the sovereignty of God, that this is going to keep us from trials and conflict in our life. Well, that's not true. And I don't care how positive you are. That's not true. Because trials will come into our life. This is the whole point of Psalms 66, 10 to 12. That God brings us into the trial to prove our faith so they will come. We know. You know, I think of the Apostle Paul. Was the Apostle Paul kept from giants? No, he was not. No, he was not. Paul was in violent storms. He was persecuted tremendously by his religious enemies. Even the fierce winds that came upon him, even a poisonous snake that came and bit him, if you recall. Listen to the words, I read them to you in 2 Corinthians 4. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. Can you see the difference between an unwavering faith that trusts God? Yes, we might have this, but, not distressed, not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the life of Jesus might be made manifest in your body. Yes, we might be hard-pressed with troubles on every side. Perhaps enemies surrounding us that is crowded on every side. But the blessing is, again, we are not defeated. You think Joshua and Caleb didn't see the giants in the land. Yes, they saw the giants in the land. They saw them. But in great faith, they proclaimed, we are not defeated. We're going to move forward. God gave us the land. We're not going to fear the giants. We fear God more than we fear the giants. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, are you hard pressed this morning? Are you going through a difficult trial? Are enemies surrounding you? Are afflictions pressuring you? I mean, you can answer yes to each and every one of these questions. But can you, by faith, move forward by confessing, we will not be defeated. We are not defeated. Again, are you perplexed? Are you crowded on every side? Are you in a situation, in a roadblock that seeming that there's no escape route whatsoever? Well, if you answered yes, you're not alone. Many others have walked your path and are going to trial. But again, you're not alone. Why? Because God is with you also. He has promised what? That He will never leave us nor forsake us. Again, He said, fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Again, in Proverbs 3:25, we're told, be not afraid of sudden fear. So, my dear ones, you can allow fear to rob you of faith because it will affect you greatly. I mean, do you expect only to receive blessings from God without any trials or struggles? Oh no. There is no trials without any type of giants, my dear ones. But like Caleb, let us by faith, yea, let us move forward in an unwavering faith. Not to look at the giants, but to set our eyes on the living God. I need to bring this to a close. Again, time has escaped me. We'll pick up at Numbers 14 next week. But in closing, I do remind you of a story that I love, and I preached on this before from 2 Chronicles 20. Remember when that great multitude of people that came against Jehoshaphat? Let me just read it to you very quickly. It said, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moabites, and the children of Ammon, the Ammonites, they're both mentioned in there, and then other than the Ammonites that came against Jehoshaphat to battle, they came some and told Jehoshaphat, they're coming a great multitude from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And notice the first three words of verse 3 in 2 Chronicles 20. It says, and Jehoshaphat feared. Yeah, he was feared. He was gripped with fear, but Jehoshaphat did not allow fear to rob him of faith. That was the difference. No, what did Jehoshaphat do? He moved forward in faith. It said, and Jehoshaphat feared and moved himself to seek God and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And the next few verses in the chapter speaks about how they all got together and prayed. But what I want to bring to you is to verse 20, because sometimes we don't see it with the physical eye. And sometimes we get gripped with so much fear. But again, Jehoshaphat feared. He did not allow fear to rob him of faith. No, he moved forward with an unwavering faith. But we need to be like Jehoshaphat. We must set our eyes toward heaven, my dear ones. We must put our eyes toward heaven. And I love what he says there in 2 Chronicles 20:12. It says, O our God, would thou not judge them? For we have no mind against this great company that cometh against us, neither know what we to do. But our eyes are upon thee. That's what it boils down to. What do you see? Again, do you see giants filled with a big G or a little G? How do you see God filled with a big G or a little G? That's what's in your heart. That's what you see. And there's some time that we fear, we don't know, but we can still look up and say, Lord, just like Jehoshaphat said so clearly, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And when you set your eyes upon God, you will not be defeated. And they were not defeated. If you finish reading the story there in 2 Chronicles 20, God sent them a deliverance, mighty and powerful. So my dear ones, let us be like Jehoshaphat. Let us be like Caleb. Again, Caleb was a man. He was not worried about the size of his trouble. He was not worried about the size of his troubles or problem. Why? Because he was trusting in a big God. And so those giants were little giants, and his God was a big God. His God was a great God. So we ask you this morning, the question is, how big is your trial? How big is your problem this morning? But better yet, how big is your God? That's really, that matters. I don't care what big over here, here and here, whatever. No, what matters is that we serve a great and glorious God who is a big God, a powerful God. And so let us be like Caleb and follow the Lord fully, even in the midst of our trials. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, again we thank you. We know, Lord, that there will always be trials, difficulties in our lives. Grace is to be able to follow you fully, Lord. Grace is to overcome fear that comes into our lives. And above all, we do thank you for your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's given us that salvation, Lord. But again, help us, O Lord, to be walking in that path of righteousness for your name's sake. And let us follow you fully, Lord, with that unwavering faith, because as we enter into 2021, we know not what awaits us. But we do know who is in control. And so, Lord, we put our trust in you. Help us to be persuaded in your promises. Help us to embrace your promises. And help us to confess your promises. Not only as we read them, but as we live them in our life. And so, God, we look to you this morning. We thank you so much for being with us and for giving us the promise that you would never leave us or forsake us, to sustain us when we go through difficult trials. And so, Lord, we thank you again for your mercies upon us. And we ask all this in the blessed and most holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.